Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Navigate how to successfully journey through life and these times. We've looked at these different topics. How to navigate personally, financially, relationally, socially, systemically. And even though we're finished with the series, we can't really be finished navigating. We can never come to an end of navigating and going around things and doing things the way that God have us to do those things. Our text today will be John, 1 John chapter 4. And our topic today is love is the great navigator. Say, love is the great navigator. I want to read 1 John 4. If you can't see it on the screen, you can get your Bibles out if you want to as well. But he says from verse 7, Apostle John wrote, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete or perfect in us." Amen. That's a great text here for today. And we've been saying all the series since August, been teaching since August, that navigation requires fixed points. Now, those of you who've done scouting, you've used physical compass, and that compass is set to it points north. And so if you know where north is, you can always find east, west, and south, because the North Magnetic Pole is a fixed point. In our electronic GPS, the satellites are in space. You know, they call it a geosynchronous orbit. And so that those satellites are fixed points, and your device detects a number of them and triangulates where you are, anywhere on the Earth. And so I suggest to us that we have fixed points help us navigate through life. The first one is Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus is my fixed point. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." That is a fixed point. Number two is the Word of God. What the Bible teaches, the words of the Bible. People have a problem with the Bible. I don't have a problem with the Bible, y'all. Amen. I've lived by it. I've been, for 42 years, more than that, I have been living by the Scripture successfully, raised a family, and all of that. And so people who had a problem with the Bible, that's their prerogative. But I would advise you to not dismiss the thing you need to navigate. Because the Bible teaches has been true generation after generation. And folks who said the Bible is not true, well, they dead and gone. The Bible's still here. So the thing about truth is, as Scripture says, we can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. We can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. Third fixed point is objective truth and facts, natural science, laws of nature. These are truths and facts you cannot change. And so that even though, you know, everything we do, family of God, is not only about what the Bible says, but we understand that God has put in motion laws in the earth, physical laws. He has put things in motion, seasons of time. You know, we said this back last summer when it was hot. We said it's going to get cold. Now, did nobody say, "Oh, Pastor, we're going to believe God this year, it won't get cold"? No one said that. No one said it, because we know seasons are a fact. And so we don't subject facts to our opinions, to our feelings. Don't make that mistake. There are things that are objective, which is things outside of you, and things that are subjective, things that are in you. So how you feel about it is nothing when it comes to what the fact actually is. I don't feel like, we appreciate you, but we don't care how you feel, especially in the face of facts and objective truth. So people, for a lack of Jesus in their life, the Word of God, in objective truth and facts, they don't navigate well. You cannot navigate without these three. So, all right, let's go on. Now, this is part 12 today, and a bit of review, just the topics, not going back at all. But all of these lessons are on the podcast, church website, my blog. You can just Google Firm Foundation of my name. It all will come up. But part one, we introduced the series with the main points I just made about navigation. Part two was self-care, fit for the journey. Before you take a trip, a long trip in your car, you don't just hop on the road. You check the car, check the tires, check the oil, so forth. And so we want to be fit for the journey. We are vessels who need to be fit for a journey. And sometimes, we just work and work and work and don't hardly rest at all, wear ourselves out. Don't do that. You don't do yourself a favor. It doesn't bless and please God to wear yourself down. Say, I won't wear myself down. You know, sometimes people think I'm working for God, and they sometimes wear themselves out, get exhausted, and some people die prematurely and go to heaven, But thank God they made it in. But somehow, I think somebody in heaven saying, what you up here for? you came here too soon. You had more work to do down there. We're glad you're here, but you had work to do. So take care of yourself while you're here, church. Amen. Part three, the power of nurture, preparing children to navigate life. So important to pay attention to our children. All of those of us who are fathers and mothers, many of you are father-like ones, you're mother-like ones, and we care for our children. Of course, our own biological children, also children, who are in our circle as relatives or educators, whomever you are. So we want to pay attention. And nurture involves caring. When you have a garden, you nurture a garden, you don't just throw the seed in the ground. You go back out there and check the condition of the soil. Keep the weeds out of it. See, nurture involves continuous contact and health for that plant. Part four was the compass of love. Now, we talked about love in part four and back to it today. We're going to end on love today. But the compass of love was part four. James called love the royal law. The royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Part five was the lesson, 10 things you can do. And Paul said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Part six was navigating systems of God and men. And we know that there is a lot to think about with systems. Systemic racism, for example, is something that's embedded. Even people who are not personally racist sometimes have still benefited from systems that were in place before they came along. And they don't understand that. They think, we talk about privilege and such. Well, all of us got some privilege, different kinds of privilege, but the fact is you actually were born into some things. Don't act like people who don't have what you have are missing out because of what they're deficient in. No, people come up a different way. So we don't condemn people for their privilege, but yet help them understand you've benefited from systems that you don't even notice anymore. You know what I'm saying? I show up and you show up in the same place and you get treated one way and I get treated a different way because of the systems sometimes. All right, part six, part seven, my wife got up here and she blessed y'all, amen. I watched it on live stream, amen. The conqueror's mindset. If God is for us, who can be against us? Again, that message is also on my podcast. Part 7, we came back to the topic of systems, systems of failure and success. Talk about how systems affect the whole and not just the parts. That's why we call it a system. It's systemic. And systems can either contribute to your failure or your success, but guess what? You get to decide. Once you see what a system is doing, you can then decide what to do with the system. Sometimes we just go along with stuff, wrapped up in it, caught up in it, and it's hurting us. But no, stop and recognize, discern. Now, this system is not helping me or my family or my community. So you then work against it, right? Dr. King and all the heroes of the past and sheroes, they were dealing with systems, y'all. They weren't just, you know, bickering with people on the corner. They were into changing whole systems, entire systems. Parts 8 and 9, we talk about the power of together. Four words: better, bigger, braver, and bolder. And this is what happens when we understand how to be together, how to live together, work together. We experience the power of together. And then parts 10 and 11, was entitled the pull of value and priority. What we value drives our attitudes and our actions. What you value, that creates your priority. So value speaks to what's important to me. Priority speaks to what's first, second, third, fourth, and so forth. So whatever you value determines your priorities. So again, all those messages are available. Please go and listen to those or watch the videos on YouTube channel. There are also notes to download. There's a lot of stuff in there, y'all, a lot of good stuff in there. So I pray you'll get into it. If you've missed a part of the series, get into it and listen to it and be blessed by it. Amen? Now today, we're going to take this text from John 3:16. We already read our main text from 1 John. We'll come back there. But John 3:16, let's read this together. It's on the screen there. Read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." As I thought about how to conclude this series and how to wrap up these, you know, several really weeks and a couple of months, four months of teaching on this topic, I wanted to just ask God, and what came to me was what we talked about in part 4, and is love. When it's all said and done, the fact that God loved us made all the difference for us. I mean, we navigate, do things, but if it wasn't God loving us, we couldn't even navigate. We couldn't do anything without God love. He said, we love because he did what? He first loved us. And I thought about that and realized, coming into this Christmas season, Advent season, it's also called, that the greatest act of love in the whole of humanity was that God sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so here, you know, we're close to Christmas now. It just seems like it's appropriate for us to conclude this series on Navigate, talking about love. Love is the great navigator, amen. Don't see love as a feeling. We oftentimes, our first thought is, I love you, and so some kind of a feeling, and it's a feeling in there, but love is what we actually do. I thought about this a little while ago. You know, my dad is here, my mother's in heaven, and there's a mother's love and a daddy's love. Right? And a mother's love is often a lot of hugs and kisses and all that kind of stuff. But a daddy's love is like, boy, get yourself together. Sometimes, you know, there's no smiling involved. But what it is, it's an act of helping and supporting and giving strength and aid. So we think love is just about smiling and being happy all the time. But no, it's not. We know this. Because when you are corrected, when you were spanked, if they, anybody spank anymore? I don't know what's going on, but when we spanked, it was all about love. We hated to do it. You don't enjoy spanking no child. But thing is, I mean, a quick lesson on spanking, so we're clear about it. I mean, I got to clean it up a little bit for some people, okay? First of all, if you raise a child the right way, spanking is very rare. Very rare. Because what happens is, if you train them, what they'll do is they'll correct themselves. Now, the first couple of times, they'll do something really wrong, and you say, no, don't do that. And then you give them a little tap on the arm, and fall out. You don't just beat them down, like with a stick or anything, right? I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about correction, okay? And so what happens is, what spanking does, it simulates life. Watch this. So say if you grow up, a child grows up and never corrects themselves, never does things, never makes a change. Well, you're going to mess around and be out here in the real world, right? They're going to arrest you. They're going to slap you. You're going to mouth off of somebody. They're going to shoot at you. In other words, what's all spanking is a controlled consequence. So this little spanking right here is to give you a little taste of what the real world could be if you don't respond to correction. That makes sense now? All right. Because some people brag about, yeah, I'll beat you behind. I'll beat you down. Now we're going to call police on you now. That's a slave mentality too, by the way. Like beat the slave, you know what I'm saying? So we're not talking about that. So I cleaned it up. Move along. But the fact is, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that is something you should always thank God for, because if it wasn't for Jesus, we would have nothing. We'd be nowhere. We'd be lost. We'd be in trouble every day. Every day. We'd be probably, well, as Elder said coming in here, we wouldn't even be here. We'd be dead. I've had accidents, car accidents, walked away, the car's all crumpled up. That's just the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. And praying parents. Let's go back to 1 John 4 now. So there's a phrase in this text that got my attention about the message today. So 1 John 4, so this is how God showed his love among us. This is how God showed. He says, he sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Say, live through him. That phrase just got my attention, that we might live through Jesus. And think about that. That almost sounds like a navigation instruction. You know, when you're about to navigate, you get your directions, however you get those, you are being taken through intersections and through cities, right, and through over highways and through valleys and mountains sometimes for a long trip. And so that word through began to make me think about the fact that we have Jesus Christ not only for our salvation, but to help carry us through life. So what does it mean then, living through Jesus? Well, how do you live through Jesus? Think about this. Living through Jesus is not something you do. It is something you are. Say, living through Jesus is not something I do. It is something I am. Yeah. Talking about lifestyle now. So, again, we have a religious mindset sometime, or we have a relationship mindset. I gotta remind people, I'm not religious. Nope. I got a relationship with Jesus. I've been religious. I had been there and done all that. Tick all the boxes and do all the things people say do, as if God accepts that. He does not. It's our works. What God's after is relationship. So living through Jesus is not a list of do's and don'ts. Living through Jesus is who we are. It's something that I am. So, for example, we know that fish don't have to think about swimming. I mean, they're in the water. Their element is the water. So fish live in the water. Now think about this. We're living through Jesus, all right? Examples. Fish live through water. Birds live through the air. Babies can only grow in the womb when they're first conceived. They live in the womb. We know this. We know that when it comes to learning, you have to live in reading and instruction. You have to live in practice, right? So understand that we live through Jesus like the fish live in the water, the birds live in the air, the baby lives in the womb. We learn, we live in school and learning. So think about walking with Jesus that way. Don't think about, well, I got to be in church 5 days or five times a month, whatever. Well, you should be in church. I mean, you should live in church. I know that. But don't think about Jesus, walking with Jesus as a list of do's and don'ts. That's a huge mistake. I think you know that last week I was out in California, took a trip out there to visit some friends and also just to do photography. The whole thing was about photography and flying my drone around everywhere. And it was a delight, okay? It was a photography delight for me. But when the trip came near to the end, I was ready to leave. I couldn't wait to get home because I don't live in California. I live here. And y'all think, I want to live in California. Let me drag you out there and drop you off on the Harbor Freeway or the 405, you know what I'm saying? And you tell me if you want to live out there. But I don't live there. And so I could never thrive in that. It was all a temporary state. You follow me? So we live. Say, I live through Jesus. We live through Jesus. That is a key point for us as we see that love is the great navigator. And as God says, he showed his love among us by sending his son. So when God said he loved us, he didn't just say, I love you. No, God sent Jesus. He sent the help that we needed. He sent a new life through him. So we live through Jesus because there's no other way to go. I don't know about you, but I've tried religion. I've tried mysticism and different things, little weird books and all that. Many of us have had all kinds of weird experiences. We found out, though, no one satisfies like Jesus. Nothing can really bring the permanent change, amen, except Jesus. All right, so then love is where we live. Say, love is where I live. So 1 John 4:7 says this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, see, we're talking about the God kind of love. Now, love is a word that's loosely thrown around. I mean, people say, I love you. You better ask them, how do you love me? Because love can be anything. Love can be erotic, right? Well, it mostly is nowadays. It can be, you know, it can be just friendship. But the God kind of love is exemplified by what God did through Christ. That's the example. So it says, let's love one another, for love comes from God. Now, we don't have love. We weren't born with it. It doesn't naturally occur. You don't have love in you God's love in you unless you have God in you. I'm not saying you can't be nice and courteous and all the rest, but the love of God is strictly a matter of the character of God, of the Spirit of God. Please hear that. So he says, for everyone who has been born of God, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. Is that clear? Very, very clear. Very clear. So we don't have religion. We have relationship. And that relationship empowers us to have love and then to share love with others. Again, love is where we live. Watch this. You're already wired to love. So I'm already wired to love. Say, it is my spiritual DNA. You know, DNA, I mean, as people, as humans, we get DNA from our parents, and we have characteristics of them, obviously. But even more so in spiritual terms, we have, I'm saying DNA, it's not DNA, but I'm saying as an example, you know, because God is love and God's in us, we have love. You're wired, you are wired to love. Because God is love, because God is in you, love is in you. Say, because God is in me, love is in me. You are a love generator. Say, I'm a love generator. I didn't say you feel like it. I didn't say, you know, it makes you have a certain feeling. No, you are, because God's in you. And so because God's love gave Jesus, your love gives to others. Your love expresses itself in many different ways because you are a love generator. Now, I want to also share this with you. Because sometimes people are concerned about, I don't have enough love for somebody, or I need more love. And it's, well, that's the wrong way of thinking. I mean, if you're born of God, you have love. So look at this way. We don't have to talk about how to have love. We only need to talk about how to not let your love grow cold. It's going to help you right here. So don't think about, how do I love my husband and my wife and my children? Well, you know, you got to ask that question. But sometimes people struggle like that. Well, don't think, no, it's already in you. The question is not, again, how do I love? The question is, or the concern really is, has your love grown cold? All right, watch this. Matthew 24. Now, in this chapter, Jesus talked about wars and rumors of wars and pestilence, earthquakes, and all that. Then he came down, verse 11, and said this. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That text is interesting to me. And I want you to understand that this is the concern we have, and I have for myself, you should have for yourself, is not that you have to go find love and drum up love, make love work. What you want to do is not let your love grow cold. That's the issue, is not letting what you have become diminished. You know, sometimes circumstances and our own thoughts just disturb us and give us all type of feelings, and or sometimes, you know, some people watch the news all day long. And if you watch the news all day long, you know, I'm a journalism minor. And one of the rules of journalism, I mean, accuracy is important, it really is, but one of the fundamentals is give people bad news. That's your job. Your job is to report on bad news, on disturbing things, murders and controversies and get a report on what's wrong. That's actually the job. Now, they throw in some nice stuff every now and then, but the job is tell you what's going on. And what's going on is mostly bad. Now, you know what happens? If you watch a lot of bad news, it has an effect on you. It has an effect on you. It pulls your mood down. It raises your skepticism. Then you question everybody. You hear about one preacher did something stupid. All them preachers out there, look at you now. See, one preacher messed up. You blame them all. That's what love grow cold looks like. Lawlessness will cause your love to grow cold. Now, this doesn't seem obvious to us. But if you think about it and kind of examine yourself, if you really could see yourself, you would understand that what you expose yourself to has an effect on you. I'm not saying shut off, turn away from bad things and don't look at what's hurting and hurtful. And no, embrace it, but just don't linger there because it will pull you down. Let's look a little deeper here. So lawlessness and discouragement are the enemies of your love walk. Say that. Lawlessness and discouragement are the enemies of my love walk. Overexposure to wicked things desensitize you or cause you to think nothing and no one matters. That's what happens when we're overexposed to iniquity. Now, iniquity is defined as a condition of being without spiritual law, without a sense of order. People sometimes have it because they're ignorant of it or they are violating it. Either way, they become what's called lawless. And so that lawlessness that you experience, sometimes, you know, you have people in your families, among your friends who are lawless, and you're trying to help them, and you should try to help them. But I think you know by now, you can't do but so much. I got an email from a friend concerned about, email to a lot of ministers and friends about violence in the city and asking the question, what is your responsibility, you know, to stop gun violence and stop murders? And so my answer was, first of all, I can't control a fool. You can't control a foolish person. You can talk to them, but you can't. So why do we think, let me just be a little talk at home here. Why do you think every black person is responsible for the crimes of some black people? Now, we have a concern there. It's not like we're all responsible for what some people do wrong. In our community, we have that concern, we have that care, but don't act like, don't pretend like, or have the illusion that you're going to stick a sign out in the yard, say stop violence, and the violence is going to stop. The answer is get a hold to all the young men close to you. The ones you know, your relatives, your students, you know, get a hold to those that are in your proximity and help them, teach them. If all of us did that, because everybody knows somebody, but all these concerns can make our love grow cold. Now watch this. The Greek word for grow cold is the word sukho, and it means to breathe, to blow, to cool by blowing, to make or to grow cool or cold, reduction of temperature by evaporation. So you blow on things, you know, when the soup is hot, get the spoon, you blow on it to cool it off before you eat it, right? Well, it's interesting to me that when our love grows cold, it's almost like circumstances are blowing on us. It's almost like, you know, the desire we have to make a difference. You know, sometimes you share something of your heart and dream, and someone says something like, oh, that's crazy, that won't work, just blow on it, you know. I mean, so sometimes people blow on you, your own mind blows on you. All kind of factors come to make your love and your passion just go cold. So beware of that, and don't let that happen. Because, you know, Jesus, again, was sent to help us. We can live through him. I thought about this too, you know, how we have a couple of nurses here, and Nurse Ingram comes to mind, of course, first of all. You know, people, and we have also Sean, and who's a medical professional. Why do y'all call people patients? Why do you call them patients? Why don't you just call them Jim and Sally, right? Because you don't want a personal connection. It'll interfere with your job. In other words, if you were friends with all the patients, their conditions would be so hard on you, you couldn't keep doing that job. You could not keep doing that job if you're exposed, to the raw pain and the trouble they're going through and the near death or death. You would think, I'm not doing, I mean, you're talking about love growing cold. That's why sometimes people in a people business, whether they're medical professionals or counselors or pastors, they get all burned out because the love has grown cold from all the exposure to people's pain. Amen? So we call them patients. How's patient so-and-so doing? And you keep yourself, you're not detached from it. You still have feelings, but what you want to do is keep doing your job without losing your mind. That's the point, isn't it? And thank God. And I think about, we know this too, the whole COVID situation. There have been no people more stressed than medical professionals. Because the very people who don't want a vaccine and don't believe COVID's real, they get COVID, and they're in the hospital. You got to take care of people who thought the whole thing was a farce. So, God bless y'all. I'll do a prayer line right now. You lay hands and pray for, I'll just pray for all y'all right now. No, we always pray for you. But people, pastors, counselors, same thing. That if you don't understand, lesson two, self-care, and stay fit for the voyage, your love will grow cold. And cold love just looks like callousness. Looks like, I don't want to hear. I don't want to care, hear more about it. I can't take no more of that. It's just like, get out my face, You don't want that to happen to you. All right, finish up here. Oh, by the way, on that term, so again, the Greek word for grow cold is pronounced suko. Say suko. But if you look at the Greek dictionary, the word is spelled, in English, is spelled P-S-Y-C-H-O. Psycho. This is not a definition or anything. But it do seem like that when you're going, psycho speaks of just crazy things. And it really is craziness that comes up against you to affect your love walk. You got it. Now, let's finish up here. So, again, don't let your love grow cold. William Barclay commentary said this. So we talked about lawlessness. Now, here's discouragement. William Barclay said this in his commentary. The second danger is that of discouragement. There are those whose love will grow cold because of the increasing lawlessness in the world. The true Christian is the person who holds to one's belief when belief is at its most difficult, and who, in the most discouraging circumstances, refuses to believe that God's arm is shortened or his power grown less. Now, discouragement is the other factor I want you to be aware of. That you become discouraged, you can really stop believing things you once believed. Or you question the things you never questioned before. But again, same issue, that it happens when we're exposed to too much negativity. Or moreover, we're not really living through Jesus. I talked to Minister Sean and, I asked her how she's doing. And I call members from time to time because Sean, experienced loss this time last year. And I said, I'm good. I'm fine. Folks say I'm fine, and they ain't fine, but she said she's fine, and she was, because this whole year, 12 months until now, back to now, she's been worshiping. She's a worshiper, not just in front of us, but she lives through Jesus. And so you can handle the loss, it always hurts, but you get to a point where it doesn't affect you or discourage you anymore. And discouragement is one of the effects of grief, by the way. Got that? All right. Watch this. So then, again, you are a love generator. Say, Lord, thank you. I am a love generator. All right, last scripture, 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Say, Say, I ought to love. What does that mean? Well, you should choose to do it. Because you have a choice. When you're dealing with difficult people, difficult situations, you are challenged with a choice. The choice often is, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Be careful. Might be the last piece you got left. Be careful. But you can decide, I'm going to love them. I didn't say it'd be easy. But you're going to do for people. You're going to do what you can to encourage, to help if you can. The main reason is you're not going to let anything take you out of your love walk. You're going to be a love generator. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to send love back that way. I like what Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. And so there's this mentality that's been cultivated because we live through Jesus. Amen? And so negative conditions can perplex you and grieve you. It can lead to discouragement. Again, it's one of the dangers of those in healthcare and people, people services, that if you don't continue to cast those cares on God and lift your mind to better places, you'll find yourself, your love will grow cold. And I'll say this much, if you find your love has grown cold, it's time for you to take a few days off or a few days, at least parts of a day, and just shut some things down, like don't watch the news, do some self-care. Because we need you to survive. There's a song out there like that. We need you to survive. And say, I will survive. And I will thrive. Because I'm living through Jesus. Amen. So he said here, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So make the decision. You ought to love. Well, I will love. I'll just choose to love. I'll choose to love. Because the alternative is not acceptable to me. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for this insight today. Thank you for giving us, Lord, grace to have journeyed together in this series. Lord, thank you that because you live in us, your love has been perfected in us. And so the best way we can navigate, Lord, through difficult situations or difficult people is to live through Christ and walk in love. And I thank you, Father God, that we have the grace, we have the character to do exactly that because of Christ. And Lord, it doesn't make it easy. In fact, it may be harder. But things that are hard are not impossible. And with you, all things are possible. So love is our great navigator. We live through Christ. And through that and through him and through your spirit in us, Lord, we can see which way to go. Even through